Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, g'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And you don't have me blabbering on today. I actually have a guest who's one of my favourite people in the world, Bo. She's been on the show before, and the reason why I'm bringing her on is because the topic we're talking about today is role of service and contribution to society and community. And Bo is in America, and I'm in Australia, as you know already, but she also has a background of a lot of experience as a grandparent and as a homeschooler and teaching in that perspective, whereas I bring a lot of background in distance education and teaching in schooling settings. So between the two of us, we actually cover a lot of ground, I guess, when it comes to this topic. So welcome, Bo.
Oh, thank you, Teresa. You two are one of my favorite people in the whole realm, as they say. And I am so honored to be back with you. I think this is my fourth time on your show. Some of your listeners may remember I did have a show on BBS for a while. And we are, my friend Vicky and I, who had Down and Dirty with Idaho Bo and Vivacious Vic, we are reimagining ourselves, to use a word from your show title. And we're going to start a YouTube channel. So you can look for that. And then I just have a little factoid of history. Today is actually the anniversary in 1910 was the first ever radio broadcast that was global. It was Caruso singing in New York City, and it was broadcast all over the world. So it's kind of exciting to be here with you on that day.
That's so cool. That's amazing. And we're broadcasting to what, 48 or more countries as we speak. So that's
go.
Very, very timely. Very timely. All right. So let's get down to it, because we've only got half an hour to have a chat. And I know when you and I get talking, we could talk for a long time. So the role of service, if we think about what the role of service is and contribution to community, I'm going to use the word community rather than society. I think society feels like a loaded word to me. So community feels like it's more heart-centered and local rather than society. So, but let's just see if we can redefine what we think service actually is, not only how it is now, but how we're choosing to envisage it, like what we're reimagining it and stepping into when it comes into that space. Do you have any opinions on how you're seeing it in your aspect, in your part of the world right now?
Well, one of the things I've been pondering since you asked me to be on the show is the word service. Mm. I grew up not being a Girl Scout, but then later in my adult years, I actually worked for the Girl Scouts of America. And one of their big, one of the things that they really embrace is service, and it's service to others, but not at self-sacrifice. And for myself personally, ever since I was a teenager, I've been a volunteer. I've volunteered for, I can't even tell you how many organizations all my life. For one of the reasons I volunteered was I never had a lot of money to contribute to the causes I felt worthy. Mm-hmm. So I gave my time. And I feel like through that service, it helped me grow as a person in a lot of ways. And, a lot of people think, well, when they hear the word service, a lot of people think, in this country anyway, military service, which again, you are giving up of yourself. And that is not what we're talking about, really. We're not talking about a sacrifice. We're talking about a heart-centered contribution to whatever organization or whatever community you feel drawn to, and doing it out of love. I think love, and it doesn't have to be an in love, but love for what you're doing. I did a lot of environmental service, a lot of service with elders when I was younger. And I find for me, it just made me so happy and I felt so fulfilled. And I've continued in service my whole life. I
I
actually
think
just
that's
started a
beautiful.
new volunteer project.
Did you?
I did. I am a seed ambassador for a regional open pollinated seed company called Snake River Seeds in Idaho.
Wow.
And I'm in training right now. So when I told you I was doing my homework, I was doing my homework.
You are. So you, and this is what I love about you, because you actually walk the talk. People can come and they can talk and they can say this and say that, but when you're living it and embodying it, it's a completely different energy, I feel. And the point you made about not having to sacrifice yourself reminds me of the whole, you know, it's in the New Age movement everywhere you go now. It's that service to self or service to others. And they're making it sound like you have to give up. And that whole service to self or service to others, to me, links to slave mentality, because both of them still puts you in that slave perspective rather than being that sovereign or sovereign living being. It's wanting to contribute to community, not having to serve them from authority, I mean, you know, like community service in that space. So there's a lot of, you can
Yes.
say community service, and then you've got people who've possibly gone to court and were given community service as a punishment. And yet, so different people will come from their own perspective and their own lens. But the whole idea of contributing to community, and particularly in learning environments for children, is that pleasure and that joy they get of doing something towards helping other people. I mean, we know that, you know, the dopamine and the serotonin and all of the happy hormones that are released when they see good things happening, but that feeling of that sense of accomplishment and that they are worthy enough to contribute is priceless. And there's a lot of children today with depression and anxiety, and they feel like they're useless because they haven't had the opportunity, or possibly even the environment, to nurture this way of thinking. Our society is sort of geared towards indoctrination around external stimulation, I guess, rather than that internal sense of accomplishment and well-being, I guess. So contribution really becomes that circle of reciprocity when you give that from that heart space, which is what you were talking about, you know, that authentic heart space, and that community strengthens because the giver is growing and learning and contributing. And of, as we know, what you give out, you are attracting back to you, which is another beautiful process, I guess, that's not often used in schools. We're sort of learning in isolation, but what do we do with it? What do they build? You know, my project idea around the bartering barn, creating a bartering barn, and the children create it, build it, run it with people in the community. And as you said, if someone hasn't got money, we don't need money. They can come and give up their time to collect the eggs or weed the gardens or contribute in some way so that we can have that give and take in our community. So there's so many simple things that we could do right now, and you don't need any money to do it.
Exactly. One of the things I feel fortunate for, like you said in the beginning, I homeschool my granddaughter, and we live in totally different states. So we contact each other every day on Zoom, and we actually have a great old time. But my daughter, is very active in indigenous groups, and she takes my granddaughter with her to different events that she does and volunteer opportunities that my daughter does. And she takes my granddaughter with her, and my granddaughter now has that same mentality of contribution. And a lot of people think, my brother, how's she going to get socialized? How is she going to have these social skills? Well, it's very, I actually think that homeschooling affords more opportunity to contribute to your society, as you said, than a lot of the brick and mortar public schools, at least in this country. Don't get me started on my thoughts on public schools, but I'm very excited to know that there's a lot of kids that she knows. She's in dance. She's very active in dance, and a lot of the kids that she dances with also are not homeschooled, but their parents have that same mindset of reciprocity. What you give, you get back. And it doesn't have to be a physical monetary type reciprocal. It can be just helping somebody else, helping an elder, helping children, building a garden with other kids, sitting in the friendship tree down in the field, and helping your friends get through their day, because kids have a lot going on today. But just having that community is extremely important in this day and age, because I really feel like a lot of what we're going through is to keep us divided. And volunteering and having that contribution mentality, giving back, I think that's one of the ways that we're going to be able to go forward in society.
I agree. And I remember years ago, and I still do it now, but years ago I introduced homework. I was working in a schooling setting where homework was compulsory and they were very strict about it. And I personally don't believe in homework unless it's for young children learning to read or doing chores around the house, helping out their home, people in their home, learning an instrument or music or exercise. So I actually set lots of homework that was more self-development, really. But I did introduce one years ago called Random Acts of Kindness, which is sort of common today, but 20 or 30 years ago, it was really unheard of. It wasn't really in our lexicon in the community. But Random Acts of Kindness, what's something that they'd done anonymously? So it wasn't there for them to get any accolades on what they had done, just to do very small things, mow your next door neighbor's yard. It could be just any little thing to try and help wherever they saw fit. So just if you see a need, you go and fill it. So take that initiative. And it had such profound development, I guess, on those as little humans, because their sense of purpose really grew. And even to the point where we had conversations on if you have allowance, if you were getting allowance money from your parents, you can put some into savings, some into spending, and then perhaps you could put some into a jar or somehow desert, purchase something or donate it to a charity or someone in need. It could be a homeless person down the street, and you're going to buy them bottles of water and some food on the way to school. And so they came up with the most imaginative ways of sharing and connecting with their community. And to the point where that 1 year was the beginning of a tradition for me, which is at Christmas time, I pay for a haircut. I pay it forward. I always go to my hairdresser and say I just randomly paying for a haircut, and I leave it at their discretion as to who they're going to give the free haircut to. So when someone comes in and that looks like they're down and out, or they may not have the funds to do what they need to, then it's already paid for. And to this day, I still have no idea who has received those gifts, but it just gives me such joy to know that someone out there is getting some sort of pampering, and I was able to contribute it. And that actually came from that class. It was one of the suggestions that they came up with, and I've been doing it ever since for years now. So, but it gives me that beautiful sense of motivation and belonging, and it really taps into children's emotional regulation as well, I feel. You know, that gap. I guess sense of agency. They're developing a sense of agency, and they're taking control, and they're actually contributing because they want to, not because they're being made to or they're told to. And it really did breed a lot of independence rather than dependence, and saw themselves as a creator being. They could create the opportunities themselves. They didn't have to sit back and wait to be told what to do. That's such a gift today with the indoctrination that's going on, with our TV and everything else that's out there. Creating that natural context for leadership and stepping up, is so needed in the world today. And I can see that it is happening. It is happening around me, but not to the volume that I would love to experience it, I feel.
I feel like people are becoming more and more aware of this, and as the parents wake up, actually the children might be leading the parents at this point.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I see it all the time. Yes. It's such a huge topic, and it is something that if you're in a formal learning setting, then there's only so much you can do, to a degree when you have a curriculum that's sort of handed to you. However, it's just a matter of saying, okay, we are learning this topic, we're learning this subject, we're learning these skills. What can we use that knowledge or use those skills towards? So it's having a look around in the real world community around you, and it could be the immediate learning place that you're in. It could be, well, we don't have a garden in our school setting, so let's see what we can do to problem solve around that. And then you can use a whole math unit around the measuring and the building and the purchasing and the everything that you need to actually create that project, I guess. So it doesn't have to be anything as big as that even. But I found that children and adults, for that matter, when they have real world problem solving, and some sort of initiative that they can collaborate on and be creative in, it just becomes alive. It's a living, breathing thing. And the amount of learning and literacy and numeracy and science that you can pull into just about anything. I know that in a school that I've been in recently, visiting recently, they had a huge problem with litter. Children just dropping litter all over the place and not knowing how to recycle. And so they actually decided, they had rolls of children that were at lunchtime that were going around and picking up the litter. They were educating other children in the school because it was a prep to year 12 school. So they had all different age groups, and they had this huge project, which became bigger than Ben-Hur. But it was the children driving it, not the teacher. The teacher was like, oh my gosh, we're doing this now, we're doing that now. But they were the one that were researching and investigating and contacting companies and researching the foods that were being sold in the local tuck shop and the packaging that was being there. And what they even went to, they even graphed all of the packaging that they'd collected at lunchtimes, so actually looked at it and realized that paddle pop sticks and lollipop sticks were the biggest detractors. So they lobbied and got the menu changed in the school because it was having a huge impact on the environment that they were living in. And these were children, they were probably about 9 or 10 years old, but they were so invested in what they wanted to do, and that's contribution. So it can be something as simple as that, but the multidisciplinary learning, the math, the design, the literacy, the ecology, the ethics, the entrepreneurship that they brought out in that was just priceless. It was just amazing. And they certainly did not wait for permission, let me tell you. They stepped into their purpose and then they took action, which of course then spurred and inspired other groups and other classes to decide, well, what can they do? And it sort of went from there. So it can be anything, but that reconnecting education with the community. Traditional schooling has really become so isolated and separate and disconnected from nature and disconnected from our relationships with other people. So I'd really love to see us reimagining our learning environments so that they become more living ecosystems in partnership with our businesses and our local communities and our retirees and our gardeners and artists and, oh gosh, I don't know, elders, whoever it is that's in the community, and move forward in that space, I feel sort of like it's an extended classroom, so not within four walls.
I would argue that the isolation and the division is done by design to keep the kids separate. And we can see, especially in this country, I'm not sure about yours, Teresa, but the political scene is so divisory right now. There's so much divide, and it's done on purpose, and I think it's being done in schools to our children more and more and more. And so I feel like if we can get our kids involved, like what you just explained with the school and the garbage. One thing that you just made me think of is I would love to go to the school board and say, listen, I'm a master gardener, I'm a horticulturist, blah blah blah. Let's do some gardens at schools, getting the parents involved and the grandparents and what have you. And that is community building. And I really feel like the more solid our communities are going forward, that this is, I feel like it's the way forward.
I agree. It's got to go local. We've gone so global with these large corporations, and we've lost that sense of community and that sense of what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, everyone has something to contribute, and everyone has a gift to give. And so it's a complete shift in thinking, I feel, and it's getting out of that mindset because we have been indoctrinated. Really, on so many levels, to be focused in the mind and in the intelligence and the logic, and not dropping into that heart space and that caring space and that feeling from that space. It's a completely different, it feels it's very subtle, but there's such a difference when you're launching something from your heart space because you care. And the care factor, in Australia, I've been watching it for decades now, has been slowly being stripped away in our schooling setting. It's decisions are being made for operational convenience or for budgets, not what is the best thing for, our little beautiful living beings that we are there to help nurture. And in many cases, we don't need to do much. The children know what they need to do. Until we impose our own belief systems on them, sometimes we're part of the problem and it's a matter of getting out of the way and giving them the agency and the allowance to step up and create themselves. And yes, these days there's a lot of red tape. You're supposed to have this risk assessment and those rules, and there's all these hoops you have to jump through, which just seems ridiculous because sometimes the effort from the teacher or the educator's perspective is just not worth it. But it has to come full circle. And I do feel that there is a shift and there is a seeking. I don't even know if it's consciously seeking. I know personally a lot of people consciously seeking it. But just as a general collective, I guess, is probably not quite the right word I'm using. I think people are seeking that connection and that wanting to contribute and wanting to have that self-worth. And with the suicide rates and the amount of people checking out, it's because they feel like they've got nothing to contribute and they're disconnected and they've, that whole I am not enough and what's the point? And I do feel like something like contribution and that connection to community can make a difference in that space. Definitely. Not to mention, you can then possibly discover hidden talents and interests that can then spark into an interest that they can pursue, which might become part of their career, or a much loved hobby, or something, because you learn a lot about yourself, when doing these sorts of group projects.
Exactly.
It's just amazing. And so for the article that I'm writing this week, so all my regular listeners know that every week, whatever the topic happens to be, I write an article and then I often put activities with the article, suggestions of activities. So this week's article will definitely have activities, will have suggestions on things that you could ch possibly choose to play with or explore around how to contribute to your community. And so I've got them grouped into early childhood, which is really more through play and presence. It's definitely not academic in any way, shape, or form. Things like nature helpers circles, watering shared gardens and feeding the worms in the worm farm, collecting flowers or herbs for your elder, or maybe to press to make cards, those sorts of things. There's lots of different things, community care, like visiting the neighbor's chickens or gardens or dog walking, or as you were talking about with seeds and seedlings, maybe collecting the seeds and starting their own seed bank perhaps. And then the primary school age, which is more contributing through skill and their creativity. So the bartering barn definitely fits in there because you could be doing homemade crafts or goods or jams or preserving foods. You could have tinkering sheds where, if there's bicycles that are broken, they could be working with retirees and helping to fix them and contributing in that sort of way. Or they could use community problem-solving projects. So things like creating signs for the local parks or building bee hotels or bird feeders, creating nature trail maps or restoring a little area of bushland, or creating in their own little garden or natural bushland, so or helping elders with different tasks. So, and then you could also even have things like intergenerational learning days and compassion walks, and there's so many different things. And then I've got activities for teenagers, and then I have another one for young adults as well. So if you're interested in looking at some of the activities that I've put together for this week, you can go to bbsradio.com / all learning reimagined. And you'll see all the shows archived there and all the articles archived there, but that's where you will find this week's article as well. Bo, did you have anything that you wanted to add before we wrap up today? Because I can't believe we've already been talking for almost half an hour.
Where does the time go?
I don't know. Oh, goodness gracious.
Just from a lifelong volunteer, when this is just rehashing what we've already said, when you give of yourself, you get so much back. It might not be something tangible, but sometimes that's better. But it also could be something tangible. And I love your bartering barn. I've always loved it since the first time I ever heard you speak of it. I think they should be global.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And in they can look completely different because the children are the ones that are designing it and creating it and running it. So there is no
Exactly.
One size fits all. It never should be. It shouldn't be a cookie cutter standard. So yeah, I love that as well. I guess my final message would definitely be that learning environments really in the future, starting now, really need to reconnect back in with the community, so that when the children are growing up, they're actually already part of the ecosystem that they're growing in and learning and living and loving in. And so I feel like that contribution to community really activates their purpose, and that's just gold. That's just amazing. Yeah. So thanks, Bo, for coming along and having another chat
Oh,
with us
thank you,
today.
Teresa. Anytime, anytime.
Really appreciate it. And for everybody else who's listening, thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out into your community and live learning.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.
Ha ha ha.